The scripture reading is taken from Exodus chapter 31, verses 12 to 17. Exodus chapter 31, verses 12 to 17. And the Lord said to Moses, "You are to speak to the people of Israel and say, 'Above all, you shall keep my Sabbaths, for this is a sign between me and you throughout your generations, that you may know that I, the Lord, sanctify you. You shall keep the Sabbath because it is holy for you. Everyone who profanes it shall be put to death. Whoever does any work on it, that soul shall be cut off from among his people. 6 days shall work be done, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of solemn rest, holy to the Lord. Whoever does any work on the Sabbath day shall be put to death. Therefore, the people of Israel shall keep the Sabbath, observing the Sabbath throughout their generations as a covenant forever. It is a sign forever between me and the people of Israel, and in 6 days the Lord made heaven and the earth, and on the seventh day he rested and was refreshed.'" This is the word of the Lord. In an article on Channel News Asia, The Big Read, titled "Singapore's Workaholic Culture," based on global statistics, Singapore residents in 2015 worked the second longest week in developed cities around the world, clocking in 45.6 hours, trailing only behind Hong Kong at 50.1 hour per week. The article mentioned that normal blue-collar workers work on average in Singapore 51 hours a week. A secondary school student for 10 years spends easily 8 to 12 hours in school, arriving at 6:30 a.m. and leaves sometimes even at 6:30 p.m. And during crunch times, which is every term for four terms, teachers can easily work 3 hours after school hours, marking and preparing for exams. Lawyers work notoriously long hours, says the article, especially in their early years. This lawyer in particular, Genesis Shen, says he works 9 to 16 hours daily in the first 2 years of practice. Now, he works 14 to 16 hours a day for 7 days a week. Employees share this phenomenon called presenteeism, where employees stay in the office even after their work is done. Sometimes they only leave after their boss leaves, because many feel that if they were to leave early, they will be mocked. This workaholic culture is not just something observed in the adults who are at work. Our students are no exception. An average student in Singapore from primary school to secondary school spends 8 hours in school from Monday to Friday. And on the weekend, they are packed with enrichment programs, tuitions, and assignments. Sometimes on Fridays, they literally bring their work home for the weekend or even the holiday. They call it homework. We work so hard, and many of us inevitably find that we have to bring our work home. Work that spills over on our rest day. And even if it's not the work that we bring home, we sometimes bring back the worry of our work home, isn't it? It disrupts our rest, and it disrupts our weekend. So, what about our Sabbath? How has our Sabbaths been? Have we been faithfully keeping the Sabbath? In today's message, we will explore what is the Sabbath, understand how the Jews understood Sabbath, look at how Jesus viewed the Sabbath, and finally, what the Sabbath means for us today in our busy Singaporean lives. Let us begin by opening our hearts to hear what God might have to say to us. Shall we begin with a word of prayer? Dear Lord, thank you for this rest day that you have given us. We ask that your Spirit reveal the condition of our hearts and that your word will speak to us this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Today's scripture passage is taken from Exodus 31. The text is situated right after God gave very explicit instructions on how Israel was to construct the tabernacle and its ordinances, and how they, as God's redeemed people from Egypt, should worship Him. So after many chapters of detailed instructions on how to construct the tabernacle, He told Moses that above all these instructions, you shall keep my Sabbath, stating that it will be a sign between God and His people through the generations. So yes, the fine details of constructing the tabernacle were important. It was going to be a lot of hard work. But the words above all suggest that yes, the work is important, but the Sabbath is of utmost importance. In fact, if you continue reading, the text also tells us the consequence of not keeping the Sabbath. Two times it is repeated that he who profanes the Sabbath shall be put to death. And once the text says that he shall be cut off among his people. So why is the Sabbath so important? And why does it warrant death? To best understand the importance of the Sabbath, we will have to go back to Genesis 2 to see the Sabbath at creation. In Genesis chapter 2, verses 2 and 3, it states that on the seventh day, God finished His work that He had done, and He rested on the seventh day from all His work that He had done. So God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it, God rested and from all His work that He had done in creation. So from the beginning, God, after creating everything that was good, God ordained the seventh day to mark His completed work. This is the climax of creation. Often, we humans like to think that the human beings are the crown of God's creation. Yes, we have a very important place in God's heart. But the point of this text tells us that after God created everything in the universe, the amount of work done was so good that He had to set aside one day and bless it. So, it's the totality of the work, not the final product of God's work, that God declared the seventh day as a holiday. Oh, which interestingly is also what the words holiday mean. A holiday is a day that is set aside by law or custom. So when God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, God is declaring it a holy day, a holiday. A day that is set apart from the other days. And just like us, as businesses and schools are suspended for the intention of celebrating or commemorating that special occasion, God declared the day holy because He had completed His entire creation. On 6 days, God worked very hard, but on the seventh, He rested. Not because He was tired or that He needed to take a breath. He rested to celebrate the completion of His creation. Then we come to Exodus. I believe most of us would have realized by now that this Sabbath is not new, and it didn't just appear here in chapter 31. It was first pronounced to Israel as the fourth commandment out of the ten, in Exodus chapter 20, verse 8. God called His people to remember the Sabbath day, to keep it holy, holiday. He then spells out to the people that 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath day to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, you, or your son, or your daughter, your male servant, or your female servant, or your livestock, or the sojourner who is within your gates. God, very smart, right? He knows that if the law says we cannot do, our sinful and corrupted heart will outsource that work for others to do. So God made sure that everyone, or everything, because the command even includes animals, to cease from work. So officially, at this point, God made clear to the people of Israel what he meant by Sabbath. The word Sabbath derived from this Hebrew word called Shabbat, which means to cease or to desist. And this became a very important distinctive for the Jews as God's people. It's like a trademark that will brand God's people from generations to come. In fact, Jews today in Israel still take the Sabbath keeping very seriously. From the Friday evening till the Saturday evening, the Jews will cease as an entire nation from work and from their daily activities. Israel was to be a nation that is marked not just by their work, but by their faithful keeping of the Sabbath. One very important practice that the early Jews had was this day called the Preparation Day. One day before the Sabbath, on this day, farmers, fishermen, herdsmen, shepherds, merchants, or any profession will work harder than the other days, because they know that the next day is a day of complete rest. If possible, they will try to complete the work they have. Fishermen will likely have to clean their nets, dock their boats, and bring their fish to the market, because no one will buy fish that is 2 days old. Shepherds will likely have to feed their livestock with more food, because they will go unattended for 1 day. Merchants and people working in the marketplace were ceased from trading. The women and the children also had an important part to play. They had to prepare food for the next day, as they could not cook on the Sabbath as well. So young and old will be busy preparing for the Sabbath. There can be no mistake, because no shop will be open on the Sabbath to make any last-minute purchases. They had to cook enough for 1 day's worth. But in working so hard, the entire family, or in this case, the entire nation, could properly set apart that 1 day when they could cease from their work and give that day to the Lord. So this hasn't quite actually answered our question, isn't it? So why does the Sabbath, or the breaking of the Sabbath, deserve a death warrant? In Numbers chapter 13, a man was gathering sticks on the Sabbath and was sentenced to death by stoning for profaning the Sabbath. What's so evil about picking up sticks? Well, the same can be said in Genesis when God promised Adam and Eve that they would surely die if they ate from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. What is all these trivial tasks? Why does these trivial tasks deserve and warrant death? Eating a fruit? Picking up sticks? It is clear that it's not so much about the action that is punishable by death, because if it was so, wouldn't it make more sense to put the death penalty on the commandments like adultery and murder? Why specifically the Sabbath? While it might sound a bit harsh, the consequence of profaning the Sabbath was death. It was because it showed disregard for what clearly was important to God. Is important to God. By ignoring the Sabbath law, we disobey God and we disrespect His design. God is not saying that work is not important. But on this day that He has set apart, God wants His good creation to celebrate by ceasing from work. So the issue is not so much an issue of the fairness of the law, but understanding the one who gave out the law and why this law matters to God so much. Early this year, when the world leaders were figuring out this potential pandemic, COVID-19, there was a lot of debate on the need to wear a mask. There were initial reports to say that masks were not needed. But eventually, enough research gave our Singapore government the prerogative to make it mandatory to everyone in Singapore to put on a mask. And within a two-week period, as far as I observe, the entire nation put on their masks. If not, you'll be given death stares if you had not a mask on your face. On top of the $300 fine, it is my personal belief, or this could be me being very optimistic, that the reason why Singaporeans cooperated is because they understood the heart of the law and why it was needful. It garnered such strong participation because everyone trusted that the law was good for us as a nation. Similarly, is it fair or is it unfair to be fined so heavily for not putting on a mask? The important thing is understanding the law and why the law matters. And so is it with the Sabbath law. We now move to the New Testament. And bear in mind, by the time the New Testament, a lot had happened between Exodus and the period in which we find ourselves with Jesus, where Jesus was situated in. And yet, after so many years, the practice of the Sabbath persists. On multiple occasions, Jesus was found teaching in the synagogues and reading scripture on the Sabbath day. This tells us that Jesus himself observed the Sabbath and that this tradition of Sabbath keeping was still important to Israel as well as to Jesus. In an episode recorded in most of the Gospels, Jesus and his disciples were picking up grain on the Sabbath. And the Pharisees said, look, why are they doing what is not lawful on the Sabbath? You see, things weren't as simple as it were in the days of Exodus. By the time of Jesus, the Pharisees had come up with a long list of laws that constitute work. They came up with a rider on top of the laws that were passed down to Moses. A total of 39 other laws regarding the Sabbath and what they interpret was work and what the law meant to them. And this rider is called Mishnah. So according to the Mishnah, on top of God's law that God gave to Moses, the Mishnah stated that removing husks from the grain was work and it was forbidden by the Mishnah on the Sabbath. So, did Jesus violate the Sabbath? No. We are told in Matthew chapter 5, verse 17, that Jesus did not come to abolish the law, but to fulfill the law. So, he had to abide in every one of God's laws to be the perfect Son of God. So, Jesus could not possibly disobey or disregard one of his Father's precious laws. What Jesus said, however, showed his contempt for the way the Pharisees interpreted the law, creating so many rules, okay, or some Bible versions will say burdens for the Israelites to follow. So, when Jesus declared that the Son of Man is Lord, even on the Sabbath, Jesus is telling the Pharisees that you don't make the rules, I do. It was this audacious claim that Jesus being the lawgiver and the Lord of the Sabbath that made the religious leaders of his time furious and eventually trying to plot to kill him. Here Jesus declares why the Sabbath law was given in the first place. Here we hear the heart of the law. And Jesus, the Lord of the Sabbath, declares that the Sabbath was made for men and not men for Sabbath. In other words, the Sabbath is for our good. God, the King of the universe, did not create his creation to work, work, and work, produce, produce, produce. Yes, there is a time for work. But God gave us the Sabbath because, as the Lord of the Sabbath, he wants us to find rest in him. The early Christians understood the significance of Jesus' declaration of being the Lord of the Sabbath. And when Jesus died and resurrected on the Sunday, they declared the Sunday as the Lord's Day. On the Lord's Day, Christians would gather for worship and celebrate the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, of their Lord Jesus Christ, setting apart this day for the Lord. So, does this mean that our Sabbath is now shifted to a Sunday? Actually, no. In a time when Jesus came to bridge both the Jewish world as well as the Gentiles, who had no special observance, the point of declaring that he is the Lord of the Sabbath meant that he is the person in which we find our rest in. True Sabbath rest is found in the person of Jesus Christ. So, the Jews who converted to Christianity continued to observe their Sabbath. And it is not because they believe that by adhering to this law that they find their salvation, but because it is part of this thousand-year tradition that they continue to honor. But for the Gentiles, who know not about this day, the point was to worship the Lord, and they did so on the Lord's Day. They did so to celebrate and to commemorate the finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross. In trying to resolve these practical issues the early church faced, Paul had this to say in Romans chapter 14 regarding observing the Sabbath. He says, "One person esteems one day as better than another, while another esteems all days alike. Each one should be fully convinced in his own mind that one who observes the day observes it in honor of the Lord." Here Paul is saying to one its own. He is not imposing the Jewish tradition on the new Gentile Christians. So no, the Sabbath remains as the Sabbath for the Jews. And the early Christians respected their Jewish Christian brothers and sisters who observed the Sabbath day. But on Sunday, it is the Lord's Day. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teachings, the fellowship, the breaking of bread, and prayer, and had everything in common, as written in Acts chapter 2. So, what does this all mean for us today? Can I suggest that we learn from our long tradition and history and draw some practices and principles that might prove to be very useful for us as we understand Sabbath in our 21st century? I think one very significant practice that we can consider is the importance of preparing for our Sabbaths. The Israelites worked very hard for 6 days to ensure they can get proper rest on the seventh. This means that we cannot be lazy during our 6 day work period. You know how most of us, yes, me, have Monday blues, and then by the time it's Wednesday, we finally warm up our engine, and then when it comes to Friday, we realize that we still have a lot of work that is undone. That is why we bring that work, or sometimes the worry of that work, into our weekend, and sometimes even our worship time. Preparing for our Sabbath can sometimes mean that we have to say no to some things that might hinder us from our Sabbath. Late night suppers, games or parties that we might need to miss in order to safeguard our worship time with God. I recall when I was younger, like maybe poly, I would hang out with my friends so late into the night on a Saturday that we would just take the first bus on a Sunday morning to church and sleep at the canteen until service starts at 9 a.m. By the time we were actually seated at worship, we found ourselves still asleep during service. So even though we were physically here in church, our hearts were not ready for worship. For some of us, it could also mean that you might need to work harder throughout the week to ensure that you don't have your work overflowing into your Sabbath. For the students, unfortunately, you cannot tell your teachers to give you less work. I know it's unfair. Your non-Christian friends have 2 days, a Saturday and a Sunday, to do their homework, but you only have a Saturday to do it. But believe me, this is a good habit to form, and it will bring you a long way. Ask your parents. They too also have a lot of work that they do not have. But if we love God and honor His Sabbath time, God will honor you in your work. So, parents, adults, and even the young adults of AMK PC, let us set a good role model for our children to see how important it is to keep the Sabbath holy. May our children remember how hard we work from Monday to Saturday so that we might keep our Sundays free from work and for the Lord. The next point, the Lord's Day. I like this term. It's clean and clear about what this day is about. It's the Lord's Day. This means the entire day belongs to the Lord. To properly worship Him, to properly meditate and reflect upon our week, to be thankful for His work on the cross. It is not just a few hours that we set aside each morning from 9 to 10:30 a.m. It's the entire day. I know, and I really mean it, I know it's very tempting to take out the laptop to reply that email or to finish marking those exam scripts that are due on Monday. Because it's so easy to tell ourselves, okay, maybe I work this week so that next week I don't need to work, or next week I won't have any of these commitments anymore. But then, this day won't be the Lord's, isn't it? It's like the Lord's half day. Huh? So, Pastor Wen Chong, are you saying that for a whole solid 24 hours, we are just supposed to sing songs, hear sermons, and go for CG endlessly? Well, we could. But the point of the day, it's not a church day. These are what things you do in church. It's the Lord's Day. So we celebrate with God by ceasing from our day-to-day task and perhaps participate in something other than our vocational work. The word recreation is often defined as something done for pleasure or to relax. But I like to propose its other meaning for us as we view our recreational activities. The word recreation combines both the words re, which means again, and the words create, which means to make something. So when God created everything in 6 days, He rested on the seventh and was refreshed. On the Lord's Day, it is entirely fine to do which is pleasurable and enjoyable. Ultimately, that's what God made us for, to enjoy His good creation. But just as the name of the day suggests, does our recreational activities involve the Lord? Are we recreating in the Lord? It's very easy to think that just because we work so hard for 6 days, that we deserve the rest that is on the seventh. Unknowingly, we fall into this trap of making that day all about ourselves. We binge-watch our drama, play our games till God knows when, go shopping because we believe and somehow have this misconception that we earned this day. But notice how whatever I just described is void of the Lord. I find myself very quickly resting in gaming and watching long hours of TV series. Somehow, when I participate in these recreational activities, I am tuned out from the worries of this world, and I just plunge myself into this exhilarating virtual world. But it took me a lot of reflection, and God speaking to me, an intentional setting apart to bring you this message today. God convicted me that my heart was restless and challenged me to truly set aside one day, to set apart that one day for the Lord. And I realized that when I actually do find rest in the Lord on the Sabbath, not just that one day is different, it radically shifts the way I or we can approach the other 6 days as well. We will start to see that the other 6 days are also from the Lord. It does not belong to us. Each given day and task that are given by the Lord Himself, and they all belong to Him. After a while of practicing the Sabbath, I become thankful that I am given the grace to live each day. So, my dear brothers and sisters in Christ, can I lovingly ask us if indeed your rest day is a day for the Lord, or is it a day for yourself? For some of you who are listening to this sermon, some of you might be new to our church or even new to Christianity, and you might be exactly going through what I've just mentioned. You find yourself working day in and day out, and you cannot quite settle down and find peace and this restedness. Don't worry, you are not alone. Many of us who are Christians for many years also wrestle with our work and find it incredibly tiring for us to be in this world because of its demands. But I like to share that unlike the rest of this world, we as Christians have Jesus Christ, the Lord of the Sabbath, who says to you in Matthew chapter 11, "Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Jesus is the person that we as Christians find rest in. True rest, not just temporary rest that the world offers, but eternal and lasting rest that is in the Lord. And for us as Christians, this is why we work and labor so hard here on earth. And we rest on each seventh day because we are anticipating a much bigger and final rest when we pass from this earth into the new heavens and new earth. And there we rest eternally, in joy, in bliss, because we have arrived at our final resting place. This is why Jesus came. His finished work on the cross allows us to come and join with Him as the Lord of the Sabbath. So if you are listening and you have not experienced this rest, and you are incredibly restless from day to day, would you accept Jesus' invitation to rest in Him? If this is you, and you would like to respond by accepting Jesus' rest into your life, you could pray with me later at the end of the sermon to receive this rest that Jesus promises. For the rest of us, AMKPC, allow me to conclude by summarizing some of the points that were shared. God created us all, and when He was finished, He set the seventh day apart as a holiday, a holy day. And He calls us to keep this day and to cease from our work. We learn that in order to keep this day holy, we need to prepare ourselves for our Sabbaths. By declaring the death penalty, we better understand why it is so important to God and why this was to be the distinctive of God's people. And we are called to be a people who rest in God. We also learn from the early church that declared the Sunday as the Lord's Day, and rightly put, this day belongs to the Lord, not us. It's okay for us to recreate, but incredibly important to make this day about the Lord and not about us. And finally, we learn that Jesus is the Lord of the Sabbath, and only in Jesus Christ can we find the rest that we truly seek. St. Augustine reminds us in his quote that our hearts are restless until it finds rest in the Lord. I would like to give us a few quiet moments in your own homes and where you are listening to God's word. And I would like us to hear what God might be saying to us this morning. We don't want to hurry the service or rush to our next appointment. Is there something that God might be saying to you this morning? I'll give us a few quiet moments as we pray and meditate and to ask God to speak to us. Let us pray. God, we come before you with our hearts opened, our ears attentive, and our feet ready to move in the direction you see fit, Lord. Your word has spoken, and your word declares that we rest on the Sabbath. Help us to obey your word. Help us to prepare for our Sabbath. Help us to be truly rested people that show the rest of this world who our God is. At this point, I would like to invite those of you who would like to receive Jesus's rest to pray after me. Just follow what I pray. Dear Lord Jesus, today I declare that you are the Lord of the Sabbath and the Lord of my life. I confess that I am weary and tired. Forgive me, Lord, for finding rest in all the wrong places. Grant me the rest that is from you, that is found in Jesus Christ. This I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. If you had prayed alongside with me just now and decided to accept Jesus' invitation to find true rest, can I get you to connect with us at our email, amkpc@amkpc.org.sg. Normally, on a Sunday, the pastors and the leaders of the church will be able to connect with you after the service, but we are in very extraordinary times. So, we'd like to hear from you and to hear your story and how we as a church could help you know more about Jesus Christ. So write to us at amkpc@amkpc.org.sg, and we will connect with you as soon as we can. Thank you.